Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 685. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out on our online home at contextmachine.io.
And you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine and Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Sweet.
Yeah. How you doing, man? It's you've been a little busy the last few weeks.
Holy forking shirt balls, right? Yeah. Yeah, there was all the stuff. I'm waving my hands in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, all the stuff. And then Mac stock, and then back, and more stuff. And I feel like everything's just finally starting to settle down, so I can get back to my regular chaotic schedule.
Right. And we apologize for the lack of shows during just busy time.
Yes, I blame Brian.
I blame you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's totally legit and fair. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. If I don't jump in with an I blame you, mm-hmm. then people will question if it's the real Jeff Gamet that's here on the show.
That's a good point, because it normally is probably my fault. So that's legit. That's legit.
I mean, no, Brian. But yeah.
Right. Speaking of me, my favorite topic.
Brian, this is why I've missed having the time where we could record together.
That's fair. I have actually me and several fellow sci-fi authors.
You made that way too complicated.
Yeah, I did. You know, by the way, hi, I'm Brian. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hey. Nice to meet you.
So we have a Kickstarter that we're doing for an anthology. This is something I've been working on for a while. We collectively, again, not Jeff Wee, but me and my fellow authors, we've been working on this.
Hello, Brian. I am Jeff Wee.
Oh, that's good. I somehow didn't hear that even as I was saying it. Anyway, whatever. We've been working on this for a while, and we are close to launching the anthology. And we have a Kickstarter launch page up. We haven't actually launched the Kickstarter, but we have a launch page up, and we need followers to get Kickstarter to show this project to normies, like to the, you know, to their legions of people,
to the muggles.
Yeah, to the muggles. And I would appreciate it if you would go and follow that project. I'm not asking you to back it. I'm asking you to follow it. And following it means that you log into your Kickstarter account, you pull up our project, and then you click the notify me ... button. That's all you have to do.
Okay, so you are asking me to non-committally commit to at least follow the Kickstarter?
Yes.
So tell me more. I mean, what you've told me so far is it's an anthology.
Yes.
And so I presume that means you're an author that's in the anthology.
Yes. I have two stories. There are six authors. We have, I think we have 12 stories. Both of my stories are set in the universe of Accidental Intelligence. We've got the story of KT, the first AI that gained sentience.
Okay.
We have the story of him gaining sentience. And then I have a story it's titled 19A946E, a really catchy title. Because that's the name of the Nanite Queen that featured in the prologue in my story.
Okay.
Although.
Okay. I see what you're doing here.
Yes.
You are fleshing out your world, and you are excellent at world building.
Thank you.
And okay, cool.
Yeah.
This is actually the first I've heard of these two stories, and I know full well I could just apply some guilt pressure to you, and you would give me access to the stories. But I'm not doing that because I am actually excited to see this anthology come together and get to see your stories in print. Because you know me, I'll end up paying for it as soon as the Kickstarter happens.
And, you know, so the Kickstarter will, we're still working out the tiers that we're going to offer, but obviously there will be a tier that is like buy the ebook. Or get the ebook for this level, and then we'll also have some print versions available of the book. And I am pretty, some might say, desperate to do a special edition. Like I really want to do a special edition book, but we're working on how to do that. And this is made more complicated by the fact that some of the authors are in the UK. Some are in Ireland, and the rest of us are in the States. So that's a little bit tricky. So anyway, that'll all be unveiled once we actually launch the Kickstarter. This is just a launch page. So okay. Following it means
there a name for it yet.
Yes. The name of the anthology is Neosynthesis.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Please carry on.
Following it simply commits you to getting updates. You're not committing to backing it. You're committing to getting updates. And like I said, we need followers on the project to convince Kickstarter that hey, yeah, we should show this to other people. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, following.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We've got 62 followers so far, and we want to have at least 100. So, yeah, I need you to do that, folks. And so I'm following the Larry Niven school here. I have long wanted to do background stories, side stories, additional novels, things like that. I'm a pretty slow writer. I also have another story out there that involves Mason Truman that's told through the point of view of the person that Mason catches.
When you say it's out there, meaning out there in your plans or out there in the wild?
It has been turned into the editor of the quarterly that will publish it. And I think that's coming out in the next month.
Is there a link for this? Also, I feel slighted on some level because this is the first time I've heard of this.
Really?
Yes.
It seems like
you just don't care.
No, it kind of seems like because it involves me that I would have talked incessantly about it to you.
I know. So this is why I'm actually so shocked. This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Huh. I blame you being busy with your parents. So, thanks, parents.
Yeah, I feel like you wouldn't let that stop you. But yeah, we'll blame my parents.
Blaise Ward is the author who edits this quarterly project, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. My quarterly is called Zeros and Ones. You know, okay. Like binary.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah.
So there, so, okay, everyone, the way I'm getting the link to this, quarterly thing that the Mason Truman story is going to be in is the same way all of you are getting it. I'm going to have it to put in the show notes. That will actually be the first time I even see this link. I'm going to rub this in, Brian, because you never don't tell me stuff.
That's
I know that true. Sentence was horribly constructed, but it gets a point across.
Yes. Yes, you were the best cheerleader.
And I've got your back. You know that I am consistently here for you.
Yes.
And then here you have a project coming up, and I find out about it.
Two projects.
While we're
three stories in two projects. And you find out about it when I'm like telling everyone else.
Right.
It's rude.
It is. What the? I do feel slighted.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well, I don't want to be here anymore.
By the way,
kidding.
Have you, we started talking about this before the show, brought up by the Neosynthesis sci-fi anthology
that I'm just hearing about.
That you're just hearing about. But have you backed any Kickstarters in the past?
I have, and it's amazing because the people told me about them. Actually, Brian, we have talked about one of the Kickstarters that I backed that worked out really well for me. One of the shows where we talked about fountain pens is when it came up. I backed the Nova Titanium pocket fountain pen. And man, that thing has turned out to be great. I carry it with me everywhere I go. It's a really nice fountain pen. I showed it to Doc Rock at Max Stock. And Doc, he's into fountain pens too. And he was genuinely impressed. He really liked the pen. So high marks for the Nova Titanium pocket pen.
I would like to see it. When are you going to be out here?
What time is it?
It's 3:25.
I guess it's going to take me 40 minutes to get to the airport, and
it's been too long. Well, since
you better
you,
have
man.
Dinner ready for me.
It's been way too long. I will have dinner.
You know, it's been way too long since we have been in the same place at the same time, and I genuinely miss that.
Yeah, the same.
So it would be kind of funny in a horrible way for us to get together and you to say, okay, show me this pen. And then I'm like, oh crap, it's in the other bag at home. That wouldn't happen.
Right.
But it would be kind of funny. All right. Well, how about you? Any projects you've backed that you've been particularly happy with results?
I have not been unhappy with any project that I have backed that shipped. And, you know, generally speaking, you don't pay for things that don't ship. Right. I got several lovely leather notebooks. I actually ended up ordering more after the Kickstarter. But anyway, from this company called Coda, they were just leather journals that are just lovely leather. Do you remember Anki?
Yeah.
I I backed Vector. That was their little robot that sadly no longer works, but.
Yeah, I have somewhere their earlier model robot, which was not a Kickstarter, but yeah, I remember that company. These are cool little robots.
Yep. I also did the Spheres. I feel like this company has since had some financial issues, but I got everything that I paid for through Kickstarter. But they make glass baubles that that they use lasers to essentially carve a 3D representation inside the glass bauble. And their focus was things like the solar system, the moon, the Milky Way galaxy, things like that. And the glass baubles can sit on a base that has an LED light that'll shine through it. That's just really light. You know, I'm a sucker for glass baubles.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. And these glass baubles are the best. I've done some D&D dice. I did a 3D resin painted sealed dragon box for dice because.
Well, I mean, if you've already Kickstartered dice, you need something to put them in.
Yes, obviously. And I did two different things with the sphere people. I got both of those. And they were great. And then I did do a book for an Australian writer. She's a sci-fi writer, but she did a book of photography around Sydney that I backed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my list and I'm seeing all these other things. It's like, oh, I forgot. So... Tapestry, the Icon Factory app.
Right.
That I backed that when it was a Kickstarter. So that's how I got Tapestry. And then this will be a shock. I have some Lego related stuff. There's this company, they make these things called Dino Dudes. So it's like really customized Lego minifigures. And so I bought this Kickstarter they did where it's like dinosaur costumes for Lego minifigures. They're just delightful. And then a follow up to that, Dino Dude 2. And, so there it's like more dinosaur costumes for minifigures. I'm seeing here, I haven't forgotten to have these really cool rulers. I'd forgotten I got them off Kickstarter. There's this one where I got these two rulers. They're like aircraft grade aluminum and they have a 30 degree slope on the surface and they're laser etched, marking increments. And I got one that's like an 18 inch long ruler because rulers are 12 inches long and it's the wrong length. They need to be longer. And then I have this other one. It's called the re-ruler. And this little thing is so cool. It's this little ruler you can put in your pocket, but it's like all these parts that magnetically stick together. So you have multiple measurement increments. You have different angles that you can use. So you can use it like a compass or a protractor if you want. It has a level built into it. You can turn it into a T-square. And you know how I do a lot of handmade cards?
Yeah.
I use the re-ruler with those a lot. And anyhow, I'm just looking at this list. Oh, throw burrito from the oatmeal. I forgot that started as a Kickstarter, that game. And
I don't know that game.
Oh, you were missing out. So the Oatmeal, that's the company, or the guy, and he has a company now for games. Excuse me. Like Exploding Kittens. Mm-hmm. It's one of the games. Throw a Burrito. It's a card game where you have to do like matches. And one of the things that can happen as you're getting your card matches together, you can end up having to have a burrito throwing fight with someone else. And so it includes these rubber foam burritos that you throw at each other. It's a wonderful game. It's so much fun.
Sounds excellent.
It's great watching. Oh, it is. It's great watching grown adults really get into throwing the burritos at each other and trying to dodge the burrito attacks. It's great. Yeah. And, oh, I forgot all about this. Excuse me. Our friend Glenn Fleischman, he did a wonderful, wonderful letterpress book on type. And I Kickstartered that, or backed that through Kickstarter. And that book is just beautiful. Absolutely love it. What an amazing book.
What's letterpress? That rang a bell as soon as you said it, but I couldn't remember any details.
Okay, so it used to be when you would do printing press stuff, you would take all of the type as individual pieces of type.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And put them together, and then you press the paper down
I thought this was a company.
No, it's a type of printing.
I see.
And so, interesting side note for you. Most people look at letterpress stuff today, and they love it for that kind of embossed or debossed look that you get. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a thing now. But originally, that would be considered improperly printed because there's too much pressure applied. And so the paper was deformed and bent where the letters were. And anyhow, I just find it interesting that now letterpress is associated with that embossing or debossing, right, that can happen when there's too much pressure, as opposed to the actual process.
That's interesting.
I could go on.
Do you want to?
No. Well, I'm looking at everything that I, look, I found more Lego in here. You know, the Mouse Guard books.
That rings okay. A bell.
Everyone else.
I had a stroke. Okay. I had a stroke 2 years ago.
Okay,
I had a stroke. I sometimes forget things.
All right. Well, so Brian, you're lucky because you have an excuse. But anyhow, Mouse Guard, it's a wonderful book. I'll call it a series because there are a handful of books, and the artwork in the books is just wonderful. And a long time ago, someone did a Kickstarter where they made for Lego minifigures the Mouse Guard costumes, and they even did Lego minifigure heads that were the shapes of the different mouse characters in the stories.
Hmm. Cool.
Anyhow, I've got I'm looking at what I've spent over the years on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I've kind of spent a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. 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 I'm super surprised. No, wait. Sorry. Yeah. What's the opposite of that?
The opposite is, oh, hi, Jeff.
Yes, right. That is what I am. All right. So follow my Kickstarter project, folks.
Oh, right.
Neosynthesis. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can also look at, actually, I wonder what happens if you type in, you know, synthesis in the Kickstarter search bar. Yep, there we are. Yay, us.
Really?
Yep. So let's move on to Strange New Worlds.
Oh, isn't the new season awesome?
It's good.
You say that with trepidation in your voice?
Yeah, trepidation even? As opposed to trepidation?
Look, I learned how to speak in the Midwest, all right?
At least you don't forget words.
Yeah, okay, there's that.
Right. So anyway, above and beyond my complete jackassery at teasing your pronunciation, Strange New World, I love Strange New Worlds. It is the best Trek, certainly since The Next Generation, probably since the original series, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It is
glorious. Yeah, I'm with you. It's wonderful.
I've got issues with some of the continuity problems between Strange New Worlds and the original series. A friend of mine, an author friend of mine, sci-fi author, who is a Trek nut, he put it that he said that long ago he had to accept Strange New Worlds as being its own thing to get over the continuity issues. And I get that, but I am sometimes kind of bothered by it. I am.
Well, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I am also a little bothered by this will be a spoiler for last week's episode. Last week's episode involved the holodeck, which was a new thing in The Next Generation. I've got a problem with them trying.
Except it wasn't. Next Generation's where the continuity problem comes in. But continue, and then I'll explain why.
Are you going to learn me? Am I going to be learned on Star Trek?
You are, yeah. Huh. But it'll be gentle.
Anyway, the thing where we put the cast in new costumes and let them play new people, to me, feels cheesy. And I get why they did that in terms of the fact that they have a show to tell. I get that. I get it within the structure of the lore, where the only people that they could feed into the holodeck were the crew. It just feels kind of cheesy and gross.
Interesting. For me, that's an interesting take, because I'm at the other end of it where I just absolutely loved the episode. I thought it was so much fun to see the cast getting to play these completely different characters.
With 24 episodes or 26 episodes, I would be for that. But in a season with 10 episodes, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is part of what Star Trek is. When you're doing episode a week as opposed to the soap opera. So my big problem isn't that they did an episode like a Space Adventure Hour. It's that we don't get seasons that have a good number of episodes in them. We get like 10 episodes and they call it a season.
Yeah, actually,
we get half a season, and then 2 years later, we get half a season.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, that's my problem. Okay, so the continuity thing. Okay, so first, we have to all accept the fact that there's really no continuity in the original Star Trek series, because there were no rules. Each week, someone else was writing a new story, and they were doing their own thing. And, I mean, we don't even have, in the original series, a consistent name for Spock's species.
Hmm.
They were Vulcanians or Vulcans. And the planet wasn't always called Vulcan either. It was, I think it was Volcano. I can't remember what it was. But anyhow, there are continuity errors through that. And we accept that. The continuity error with the holodeck and the Next Generation acting like, whoa, this is a new thing. Mr. Robot, please tell me about this amazing thing on this starship that I should already know all about because I'm the XO. The animated series, which is canon, we see the holodeck in use regularly. Well, we see it. It's presumed it's a regular thing that these people have access to, and it's not new to them. But the holodeck exists during Kirk's 5-year. There is one on the Enterprise, and they even reference what it's called in the Space Adventure Hour, when Pike is first talking about it in the conference room, and I just forgot what he called it, and then someone else said, "Yeah, but it's easier to say holodeck."
Mm.
So the real problem isn't here; it's in Next Generation.
Hmm. In that the Next Generation was here before these other things?
Well, that's not true. Next Generation was here years after the original Star Trek and the animated series.
Oh, that animated series.
Oh. There's only one Star Trek animated series. There are other animated Star Trek shows.
Yes, I thought you were talking about the Lower Decks.
Oh no, I would have been very clear. Yeah, that it's okay, Lower Decks.
That's fair. I stand corrected. Animated series, I got it. You're right. Next Generation was in fact the aberration. All right, fair enough.
Yep.
Okay, well, but I also have issues with the Gorn.
That's legit. That is a very big continuity problem that I'm curious, will they have addressed why we have all this Gorn stuff now when the Gorns are this mysterious thing in the original series?
Yeah. And I mean, it was a one-off for the original series. And I don't see why they wouldn't have just made up someone new for Strange New Worlds. And don't get me wrong, the Gorn in Strange New Worlds are fantastic. They're certainly better than the, you know, slow moving man in a lizard costume.
The rubber suit guy.
Captain Kirk. Yeah. I have loved making fun of the original series Gorn for decades. So my issue is not with the actual Strange New World product. It's the continuity issues that introduces. In particular, you know, Spock not knowing anything about them.
The Gorn is a real continuity issue thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other continuity issues that have popped up to me, I don't feel like I have serious continuity issues with them, you know, with the things, because there's a lot we don't know about what happened before Kirk took over the Enterprise, and there's a lot that they can do with things that appear like continuity issues right now that will be resolved by the time we get to the point where the original series is happening.
Right. And they're edging us closer to that all the time.
They are. And I saw an article somewhere in the last couple of weeks where there's been talk about, after Strange New Worlds wraps up, about moving into a new Star Trek series that covers Captain Kirk on the Enterprise.
Cool. Like
something that happens during the TOS era.
Right.
Which could be really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be also interesting to see what happens with the franchise in terms of the Paramount Skydance merger.
I agree. Yeah, I am concerned about the fallout from that.
And they have already announced, is season 3 the end of Strange New Worlds, or is it like season 3.5?
Season 5 is the last season, and that will be a short season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is so, kind of crazy, because 10 episodes feels pretty short already.
Right. Right. That's great. I'm glad that we're still good. But anyway, the point is, Strange New Worlds is terrific. It is the best Trek to me since at least The Next Generation, and probably since the original series.
Yeah, I'm with Ansem Mount, it is top notch.
Ansem Mount as Pike is fantastic. I forget the fellow's name who plays Spock. He's fantastic.
Ethan Peck.
Thank you. How about Uhura? Do you know her?
Crap. What is her name? It's Celia.
Well, I feel like we need to
Celia Rose Gooding. Holy crap.
Oh, wow. Very, very nice. She's fantastic. Oh,
my head hurts after that. She's absolutely fantastic. I think Rebecca Romijn is an excellent, number one.
Yes.
And, the security officer.
Yep, she's great.
And Christina Chong.
And the person who plays Christine Chapel is fantastic.
Jess Bush. So the reason I can rattle off the names like this right now is because as we record, I was able to fit in earlier watching the episode that came out. I guess technically it would be today. And so that would be, what are they? I can't remember the name of today's episode, but it's good. I liked it.
The Salot who ate its tail.
Nope. That's next week.
Ah,
isn't that funny? I can remember next week's episode.
Yeah. So is this the Muppet one? Or is that next
week? There is no Muppet one. That was a promotional video talking about season 4.
Ah, got it. Good. I'm glad, because I wasn't too happy that they had done the Buffy or the Angel thing.
Not through the looking glass.
Are we still looking for the name of that episode?
Through the Lens of Time. There we go. I did actually have to look it up. Through the Lens of Time. And it was through something.
I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's Bobs Olusanmokun, who plays Dr. Mbenga.
He's wonderful.
He is wonderful. He is fantastic. He is scary. His way of talking, I found a little maddening at first, but I got over it, and I love him.
He's fantastic.
Carol Kane is fantastic as Pelia.
Yes. I think you'll enjoy her in this episode.
Paul Wesley is great as Captain James T. Kirk. I'm assuming he would be the Kirk.
That's the assumption that I have too. I like him as Kirk. I think Martin Quinn is a good Scotty.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's obvious that we both like the cast. We both like the show. I like the presentation. I like this presentation of the Star Trek world. And I, in particular, Anson Mount is just terrific. So it's a good show. It's a great show.
I agree. I have one complaint about this season so far.
What's that?
Why have we not seen Chief Kyle?
Chief Kyle. Who's Chief Kyle?
I know, he had a stroke. Okay, so Chief Kyle was a recurring character in TOS, and he's been in season one and season two of Strange New Worlds, the guy that's running the transporter most of the time.
Ah, right. I don't know. Andre De Kim is the actor's name.
Yeah, so why haven't we seen him yet?
I don't know. Was he cut for budgetary reasons?
It's possible, but they've got a good budget. Why? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I hope he's back.
Fair enough.
Maybe he's gone so they could have more money to have the actress that plays Captain Patel. I'm sorry, I cannot remember her name.
I don't remember her name either.
Melanie Scrofano.
Okay.
I did not remember that. I looked it up. Full disclosure.
Okay, well, we'll forgive you this one time.
At least I have Google Foo and I could find it real quick.
Yes, you do. All right. I think we should call it right there, man. Thanks. What do you say?
I think we have had a wonderfully nerd out episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's stop while we're on top. Do the mic drop and take us out, Brian.
That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And that is all for this week, Jeff.
Almost all for this week. We just need to remind everyone to go and follow Neosynthesis on Kickstarter.
Yes, please do. And thank you very much in advance. Glad we were able to shoehorn me at the end.